Good morning. Welcome to our worship service on this Thanksgiving weekend. We especially welcome Walter Miedema here as our guest pastor today, and any other visitors who are with us. We're happy that you're here, and we hope you'll stay and join us for coffee and fellowship after the service. Let's draw near to our Creator God and Savior in a moment of silent prayer. Our call to worship this morning comes from the familiar Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. And the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Our gathering songs this morning are Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Thank you. Having received God's greeting, let us now hear his will for our lives. Our Lord Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." We hear God's will for our lives, but we know that it is difficult to live up to his desire for purity and purpose. Please join me in a prayer of confession. Merciful God, you made us in your image, with a mind to know you, a heart to love you, and a will to serve you. But our knowledge is imperfect, our love inconsistent, our obedience incomplete. Day by day, we fail to grow into your likeness. In your tender love, forgive us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Receive these words of assurance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. To all who confess their sins and resolve to lead a new life, he says, "Your sins are forgiven." He also says, "Follow me." Now to the one who rules all worlds, immortal, invisible, the only God, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. Let us respond to this gracious forgiveness by singing, "My Jesus, I love thee."
Thank you. I have the children up, please? Good morning, boys and girls. How are you all? So I know this is an easy question, but what is it this weekend? Brooklyn.
Thanksgiving,
that's right. And what do we remember at Thanksgiving? Keegan? To be thankful, that's right. So we are going to be thankful all weekend, and I'm sure many of us have celebrations planned with our families where we will spend time together and thank the Lord for the many blessings in our lives. Earlier this year, my daughters went to a vacation Bible school in Thamesford with some friends. And obviously when you're at vacation Bible school, you learn a lot of new songs. One of their favorite songs is called A Million Reasons. I just want to read a little part of that. Part of the song goes, "Everything I have, I owe it all to you for everything you are and all you do, Lord. I could write a book, fill every single page with a million reasons to thank you, Lord." So we decided to do that at our house. We started a book, and we are filling every single page with reasons to thank him. You'll see we have different colors of pen. Each of us has a different color, and every day we write something we're thankful for. Now, the first couple days, super easy. Thankful that God sent Jesus to die on the cross, thankful for family, thankful for friends, thankful for our houses and our food. But then it starts getting a bit trickier because there's a lot of things in our lives that we take for granted. So this weekend, when you're thinking of things to be thankful for, I want you to dig down deep. Think beyond the family and the friends and the obvious things and try and come up with some things that you're thankful for that you don't normally talk about. I can give you a couple examples. My one day, oh, here's one. I was thankful for my dishwasher. I know that's a silly thing to be thankful for, but I don't like washing dishes by hand. So that's something you can be thankful for. The one day, Sammy was thankful because our dog had a little surgery, and he came home, and she was very happy he came home. So think beyond the big things and start thinking about the little things in your life. If God has given you a particular talent, if he's given you a talent that of music, thank him for that. If he's giving you a talent for making friends, be thankful for that. But this weekend, when you're thanking God, try and think beyond the big things and think of the little things in your life too, okay? Okay, you guys can head off to Sunday school.
Please join me in a prayer for the opening of God's word. Holy God and Father, thank you for your word as you give it to us in Scripture. Help us to have open hearts and minds so that we may receive it with joy. In your name, amen. Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the book of the prophet Haggai. If you have your Pew Bibles, that's on page 917, at least the one that I've got here. Chapter 2, beginning at verse 10. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priests what the law says. If a person carries consecrated meat in the fold of his garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? The priests answered, no. Then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priests replied, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with this people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer there is defiled. Now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day, I will bless you. The word of the Lord. I think that most people enjoy snacking, whatever it is, potato chips, popcorn, nuts, or candies. It's inevitable that some of it is going to fall on the floor. And when it does, what do you do? Do you pick it up, blow on it, or maybe dust it off and pop it in your mouth as if nothing has happened? Or do you give up on it because, really, you shouldn't eat anything from a dirty floor? There's a game that a lot of us play with ourselves that some people call the 10-second rule. The actual number of seconds involved can vary, but the concept is the same. We pretend that if the piece of food in question has touched the ground for less than the arbitrary amount of time we've chosen, it's avoided being contaminated and is still therefore safe to eat. But would you serve it to your guests? In our passage today, we have a similar, if somewhat more serious, situation. Yahweh commands the prophet Haggai to ask the priests about whether things can become holy or defiled through contact with other holy or defiled things. The concept of cleanliness and holiness was and still is a significant concern to religious Jews. Keeping kosher and avoiding contamination of various sorts was high on the list of religious priorities. The prophet Haggai is using this concept to metaphorically prove a point. To do so, he seeks out the priests, who are considered the authority on religious law, to ask a couple of direct questions regarding the laws around purity and defilement. The law being appealed to is that of Torah. And many scholars point to passages in Leviticus and Numbers on which the priests base their verdicts. First, Haggai asks if a garment which has touched or held meat that has been consecrated or blessed for sacrifice can pass that consecrated nature onto meat or other food. This involves 2 degrees of separation, from the meat to the garment, to the other food. And the clear answer the priests give is no. Haggai's second question is to ask if defilement or ritual uncleanness acts in a similar way to the consecrated nature. If a person defiled by a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? The priests respond with a simple affirmative, yes, but they also add, it becomes defiled, for emphasis and clarity, as if to say, make no mistake, defilement is contagious. In response, Haggai gets to the point he was driving at from the beginning. So it is with this people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer and what are there is defiled. Just like food that is touched by one who has touched death, so are the people of Judah who have displeased Yahweh their God. They, everything they touched and everything they did were defiled and displeasing to God. To determine exactly why Judah, what Judah has done to displease Yahweh, we need to look at the rest of the book of Haggai. Haggai was a prophet who received his calling after Judah had returned from exile. It was before the time that the group of Israelites had returned from Babylon with Ezra and Nehemiah. King Cyrus of Persia had given permission for the Judean captives to return to their land and had sent much of the items that had been stolen from Yahweh's temple back to Israel with them. Those who were returning to Jerusalem were working on reintegrating with those who had been left behind. It certainly wasn't a very easy time to be living in the promised land of Judah. People were working very hard to build houses, restore farms, and find other ways to survive and make a living. In this struggle, the temple of Yahweh had almost been completely forgotten. Its walls were piles of rubble, and only its main altar had been cleared off so that it could be used to offer sacrifices. This was the source of the problem. Yahweh's temple, the center and symbol of Israel's dedication and worship of God, was broken down. And many scholars believe that the main altar, as it stood in the middle of the ruins, had not yet properly been reconsecrated and repurified. The altar had been defiled in various ways by offering impure and unclean sacrifices in the years before the temple itself had been destroyed and the priests and rulers had been taken into exile. It was now 18 years after King Cyrus's decree of freedom, and little had been done to properly cleanse the altar and rebuild the temple. Those who lived in Jerusalem were focused on their own houses and allowed themselves no time to rebuild the house of God that they supposedly served. The temple and the altar were unclean, and they passed that uncleanliness down to the people who used them for worship. This is why the prophet Haggai states, "So it is with this people and this nation in my sight. Like one who has touched a dead body, the people of Israel were in contact with a dead temple and a defiled altar. Because of this, they had been made unclean, and everything they touched had become unclean. And being unclean, the people had come under Yahweh's curse." As God declares through Haggai, whatever they do and whatever they offer, there is defiled. Like the Jews who were living in Jerusalem after the return from exile, we too can fall into patterns of worship and belief and ordinary activity that can cause our actions to become defiled and unclean. In truth, this has been the case since Adam and Eve's first disobedience. Their sin is our sin, and it has been passed down through our genes and through our cultures for as long as humanity has existed. Like the returned Jews and our first parents, we have a habit of putting our own agendas before those of the God we serve. We seek to build our own houses while the house of God falls into ruins and ceases to be what God intended it to be. We seek to be equal to God, claiming that we can determine what is good and evil. The house of God and the community of the people within it can easily become a place where, like any other, people can seek to serve their own influence and see their own influence and power increase, rather than listening for the guidance and the will of God as it is discerned collectively by his people through Scripture. As members of God's body here on earth, we need to regularly rededicate ourselves to his mission and his will for his creation and our lives in it. If we don't, our lives and our churches risk becoming hollow ruins that will damage and contaminate everything they touch. There's a date mentioned twice in our passage today, the 24th day of the 9th month in the second year of King Darius. As best as can be determined, this works out to about December the 18th in the year of 520 BC. Outside of Haggai's prophecies, this date has no special meaning. It was not a set feast day or a regular holiday. What it was is the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. It was a day when things began to change. Haggai shows this day to be the dividing line between curse and blessing. The phrase translated "from this day on" can also be translated "from days past." Haggai wants those living in Jerusalem to compare what was with what is on its way. Before the day when one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple, people's efforts to survive and provide for themselves weren't very successful. Those working the land would only harvest half the grain they were expecting, and those pressing grapes would get less than half the juice they had hoped for. On top of this, a number of valuable crops barely produced enough to be considered worth harvesting. Everything that the residents of Jerusalem had touched had been ruined by blight, mildew, and hail. This is how it had been since they had returned to Jerusalem. But now, things were going to change. "From this day, I will bless you." Now that the residents of Jerusalem have shown that they are willing to follow his plan, respect his will, purify his altar, and build his temple, God promises his blessings. God didn't cause the crop failure mentioned above because he wanted the Jews to suffer. He allowed it to happen to them as a warning that they were not acting in ways that honored him. The struggle was sent as an encouragement for them to change their ways and give God the honor and the glory he deserved. I'm sure that there have been periods in each of our lives where nothing has seemed to go right. We don't get the promotion we're looking for. We don't get into the school we wanted. We don't make a desperately needed sale, or perhaps simply don't have things go our way for a long time when we feel we really need it. As communities, we can struggle as well. Churches can struggle financially and spiritually. The important thing is to remember that in these circumstances, we need to ask if God might be trying to tell us something. God doesn't want anyone to suffer needlessly, but there is a chance he might allow individuals and communities to struggle for a period so that they can avoid greater suffering. Whether we struggle or suffer, the main cause is most likely because someone has deviated from the will of God or has not properly respected God's sovereignty over creation. As humans, we were created to take care of God's world, but we were also created to serve our Creator. When we forget our place in the created order and mislead ourselves into thinking that we are in charge and that we are in control and that God is only an afterthought, we dig ourselves into holes that we will never be able to climb out of on our own. The contagion of sin is so thoroughly bound up in us that we can't counteract it on our own. Like the food that falls to the floor, everything we touch becomes dirty. In Reformed or Calvinist circles or traditions, there's a strong emphasis on the fact that every square inch of creation belongs to God. At times, we have taken that to mean that we as human Christians need to go out into the world and redeem the culture around us. That desire in itself isn't wrong, but problems show up when we begin to see ourselves as the main actor in these endeavors and projects. We can't redeem anything on our own. Because of our participation in Adam and Eve's disobedience of God, and also because we tend toward worshiping ourselves, we will always defile everything we touch. The only thing that limits this negative effect is God's grace and blessing. Redeeming the world will only happen when we assist God in bringing people into direct encounters with Him. Remember how the first question Haggai asks of the priests talks about purification and how it can be and whether it can be passed through one object to another. The priests said it could not. This should serve as a reminder that the salvation of those to whom we witness isn't dependent on us. We need to be careful. God is the only cure. Jesus, the only antiseptic for the contagious sin that we sinful humans cannot help but spread. So what do we do if we cannot save ourselves? Admit that the trouble is of our own making and appeal to the God who has made us aware of the trouble that we are in to save us from it. The good news is that that same God who spoke through the prophets and the prophet Haggai came to earth and became one of us. He is the source of all good, all that is good and holy. He modeled what a life uncontaminated by sin looks like and died to cleanse us from our sins. He also sends His Spirit to be with us as we seek to serve Him individually and collectively. It is only because He has done this that we are able to do anything good. Nothing we do apart from Him can limit the negative effects of sin. We need to regularly remind ourselves of how dependent we are on God's grace, or it will become easy to slip into complacency. This is why Yahweh instructs the Jews to give careful thought to the day the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Christ's sacrifice and the sustaining nature of the Holy Spirit are the foundations of our faith. Through them, we are made clean, purified by our contact with a God who did not give up on us, even though we were defiled by our sins. Without Him, we are nothing. But if we truly honor Him and do His will, we can do everything. When we honor God and do His will, He promises to bless us. And with His blessing, we are further empowered to do His will and be a part of his perfect plan. Amen. Let us now respond to God's word by singing, "Seek Ye First."
We have an opportunity to come before God as a congregation and bring our prayers to Him. Are there any announcements or prayer requests? Yes, Trish.
I'm going to Haiti in November with a group from Covenant Christian Reformed Church.
Okay.
I'm going to support an organization called Children of the Promise. And we are holding a fundraiser at Covenant Church on October 9th. It's a full pork fundraiser, so come out if you can and help us along. And I'd also like to say thanks to Kobe, who has made a bunch of knit bears. Her and some ladies from a knitting group here have made some
Okay, yes. Thank you, Kobe, for all those bears. I saw the pictures. They look great. And October 9 is the pulled pork dinner. Is that Tuesday?
That's a Friday.
The 9th wasn't a Friday. The 9th is this Tuesday. So. So is it this Friday? Okay. Well, Trish will let us know when the pulled pork meal is, but it's coming up. Nathan?
Next weekend, the cats are going camping, so remember us in your prayers if you survive another fall of camping. And any boys who may not be part of the group, you're invited to come along and have a good weekend with us.
Okay, cadet camping next weekend. Yes, Donna?
The second brother is a little boy of our serving family.
Uh-huh. So the second oldest son of Abdul and Afaf was in the hospital.
Second youngest.
Okay. Was in the hospital and is he home now?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anyone else? Okay, let's come. Oh, Trish, yes.
The 19th.
Okay, October 19th, there is a pulled pork fundraiser at Covenant Christian Reformed Church, correct? Okay. Good. Thank you. Let's come to God in prayer. Dear gracious and merciful God, We praise you for keeping us in your covenant, for leading us to life and joy. We praise you for the time and opportunity we have to come together to worship in freedom and peace. Thank you that we can reflect on your perfect word. Enlighten us, make us wise. Restore our spirits and help us to walk in the power of your salvation. Thank you, God, for this congregation in Ingersoll. We praise you that we can be confident in your leadership and that you have called up people in this church to serve and govern. We ask you to draw us ever stronger into the community and communion of your church. Bless those who work to run this church, those who care for our buildings and for our money. Watch over our children, Lord, in the nursery, the Sunday school, the catechism classes, the youth group, and the GEMS and cadets. Bless all of our many volunteers, Lord, who nurture them. We ask that you grant them wisdom and strength for the season ahead. Watch over us as adults too, Lord. Help us to encourage each other and to remain faithful to you and faithful in meeting together. Thank you for the worship services we have, for the celebrations we gather for the friendship club, and for the Bible studies we engage in. Help us to know the joy of your presence in all these things. We pray for the calling committee, Lord. Please show them who you have called for us. Thank you for the renovation work that has begun. Please continue to bless the plans and the workers who complete them. Grant them safety, Lord. Please bless this space, Lord, that all changes will enhance our worship and increase our ability to do your work. God, we pray for the missions of this church to the world. Bless the Wakatavi family in Africa, the Sardars in India, and the Spans in Indonesia. Graciously bless the work they do, and may your gospel be received. Help us, God, to shine your light and be a witness to your wisdom and love here in North America. May our leaders be brought to an understanding of your ways, and may you give them a vision of what a just and honorable society should be. God, we think of the disasters that have happened in the world this week. Please bless those in Indonesia who suffered great losses of life and property in the earthquake. Help us to give them the aid they need to strengthen and restore them. Finally, Lord, we ask that you keep us close to you. We remember before you, O God, the blessings and needs of this congregation. God, we ask that you ease the struggle for those who suffer the pain of isolation, of depression and anxiety. Sustain them with your energy and your care. Help those who are gifted with the healing and knowledge of treatments to reach out to those who are in need. We also bring before you Miniature Lion and Gilvin's Lignan Horse. Bless them with comfort and your healing strength, and assure them of your presence. God, we also think of Trish, who is going to Haiti, and we ask that you bless all the people in Haiti who struggle daily, Lord, and help us to strengthen them in the activities that we do. Thank you for the work that Kobe has done for making bears for them. Thank you that we all can use our gifts to help others. God bless the cadets as they go camping next weekend. Give them good weather, Lord, and safety as they travel and as they spend time together. God, we also ask for your healing for the son of Abdul and Afaf. Thank you that they can get care here, and thank you that their son has been brought home. Please bless him as he continues to heal. We pray, Lord, that you protect all of us as we leave here today and start a new week. May our lives be a song of praise to you, and may your peace, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our offering will now be taken, and it is for the specialized ministries in the Christian Reformed Church. Thank you.
Shall we pray? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings you have given us. We thank you for this Thanksgiving weekend to celebrate your gifts to us. We ask, Lord, that you accept these gifts for the CRC ministries. May it be used to your honor and your glory. We pray this in your name. Amen. Tomorrow's offering will be for Free a Family.
Let us now continue in worship by singing Cornerstone. I understand that you are to celebrate the Lord's Supper this coming next Sunday. So we will read through the preparatory for that. You may be seated. As we prepare to celebrate Holy Communion, let us remember that Scripture calls us to examine ourselves before God. We are taught that eating and drinking unworthily brings judgment upon ourselves. Let us therefore ask God for the proper spirit with which to celebrate the sacrament. Almighty God, before whom can neither secret thought or hidden deed, grant us your spirit that we may know our hearts, our lives, and our inmost thoughts as you know them. Grant us your grace that we may repent sincerely from all sin and find peace with you through our Lord Jesus Christ and grow in assurance of salvation in him. May the celebration of our Savior's infinite love in his redeeming death bring joy to us and glory to you. We thank you, Father, for the atoning power of our Savior's death and for our share in his victory over sin. Open our hearts as we prepare for this celebration, that it may strengthen us in our hope and confirm us in our love. In his name, amen. Brothers and sisters, let us first examine our faith. We all confess the truth of God as taught to us by Scripture and summarized in the creeds of the Church. By this faith, we take ourselves, Christ, and all to ourselves, Christ and all his benefits, so that for us to live is Christ. Lord God, author and finisher of all true believing, confirm our faith as we prepare for the Holy Sacrament. Let us further examine our hope. All Christian hope rests upon the finished work of Christ as Savior. The Holy Gospel teaches that all our righteousness is in him alone. God's children rely wholly upon the merits of Christ, find in him their strength and victory, and confidently expect his return in glory. They look forward to celebrating his Holy Supper anew with him in the kingdom. They will surely be received by God at his table. Most merciful Father, fill us with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may abound in hope. Let us also examine our love, both for God and our neighbors. Remember the great and first commandment to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let us consciously determine to live a life of loving service to him through Christ our Lord. Let us also search ourselves to determine whether we love our neighbors as Christ commands. Do we unselfishly live for the welfare of others? Do our lives reflect the godly virtues of obedience, fidelity, integrity, justice, humility, and contentment? Do we seek reconciliation with our neighbors in all cases of offense? Dear Father, daily increase in us the greatest gift of all, our Christian love. In these marks of spiritual life, if these marks of spiritual life are not evident in us, we may not presume to approach his table. Those, therefore, who live in self-righteousness, who hope in works or virtues of their own, and who do not show love to God and neighbor, have no true place at the Lord's Supper. Yet, we should not be deterred by any sin lingering within against our will. As we find faith, hope and love within us, we ought to gladly obey our Lord's command to come with full expectation to God's open house of mercy. Gracious God, we love and adore you in Christ our Lord. We thank you for reconciling ourselves. We rejoice in being received as your children. Prepare us by your Holy Spirit for the sacrament. Help us to come in the assurance that by it we shall be spiritually revived and strengthened in faith, hope, and love. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having examined our faith, hope, and love, let us now join together in confessing that faith by standing up and in our word and our hearts, saying the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. After the benediction, we will conclude our service by singing, "Great is the Lord." Receive God's blessing. May the blessing of God, the giver of every good and perfect gift, and of Christ who summons us to service, and of the Holy Spirit who inspires generosity and love, be with us all. Go in peace.